years ago when I was working for Byte Magazine. I came out to Redmond during your OS2 era.
Wow,
And
that's
so,
way back.
yeah, that is way back. Since then, I've kind of followed what's gone on at a distance. And so I'm aware of the drugstore.com experience and a little bit about some of the acquisitions that Microsoft has made since you've returned and are on the healthcare beat. Maybe if you could tell us a bit about the drugstore.com experience and how that leads into what you're doing now.
Well, sure, we can start with drugstore.com. Drugstore was a great experience. I left in Microsoft in 1998 and started it the next day and really focused on how could we bring the internet experience to pharmacy consumers and create a personalized pharmacy. I was at doing MSNBC just prior to that, and we really created the concept of personalizing your news and wanted to take that into the commerce environment and in a way that was very information heavy. Drugs at the end of the day are really a bunch of information capsules about how to change your body and how is my body going to interact with them. And there's just so many things that we could do online that could change the experience. And we really had a lot of fun learning, lots of surprises, simple pieces of information that not being a health person when I started it sort of surprised me. But I found one of the most important data points we put out there for consumers was price. You can't go shop a pharmacy. And at that time, there was a very big cash market, and people had no way to understand what they were paying and how they could do better. And so one of the things the internet did for both online and physical pharmacies was make them much more price competitive in the cash market.
Was that at a time when generics were less popular than they are now?
Well, there were more drugs that were still protected by patent. But also, even today, the generic penetration of those that could be is probably only 60%. So there's still a large opportunity there.
What's your take on how that project went?
Well, I would say two things. One very important lesson learned is that health is more complicated than most other industries. And while the company is a success, 400 million market cap, 450 million in revenue, something on that order, we've shipped, the company has shipped, I'm no longer involved, but the company shipped well over 4 million prescriptions, is that there are levels of indirection in the marketplace, right? So the payer for the pharmacy product is by and large not the consumer. And that creates a web of interactions and complexities from a business model perspective and a business environment perspective that just make it really, really complicated. I'll give you a simple example. We were the first to try to take insurance online and accept everybody's insurance. Well, no real-world pharmacy has to do that because they're limited to a geography. They only need to know the 20 plans that exist in their area, and they can sort of figure out which card goes with which plan, et cetera. But to do that on a national scale against all providers, when consumers had to give that information and they really have no clue who their pharmacy benefit manager is, it's just an incredibly complicated user experience that is orders of magnitude more complicated than what Amazon was doing at the time to really deliver a better user experience and finding what books, music, or video they wanted to buy.
Yeah, lots of partners, lots of agreements that need to happen. I've had some conversations with a guy that you probably know, John Halamka, and he's doing this on a sort of a regional scale in New England. And I think having some good success, actually, in fact, in the area of prescription drugs and the exchange of information about insurance and who's paying for what and things like that. But he's been, I think, doing it on a scale where, at a regional level, you can kind of get the people in a room and talk to them.
I think that's partly true. In that area, you are able to do it. He's created a thing called the NeHen, which exchanges some information. But there are also some utilities that exist today that did not exist back then, such as RxHub and Surescripts, that enable some, they're aggregation points, so an access point for an information architecture for you to go make a query and get back a possible hit against a patient and a meds list and what's current. So
Okay.
a bunch of things exist. That it's not really so much about the business side, but about the information architecture. What they're doing is interesting and more doable than what we could have done back in 1999 when we launched.
Yeah. So what took you back to Microsoft? How'd you get re-engaged and what's the
Well, one
plan?
of the things during my later years, after we built been public and been successful, I said, geez, I've really learned a lot about how important health is to consumers and yet how challenging it is from an industry perspective. And so I ended up getting appointed to the President's Information Technology Advisory Committee, and because I still had drugstore.com in my title, I was appointed co-chair of the Health Subcommittee. And I said, oh, wow, that's really interesting. And at that time, I got to hear from people like John Halamka and others who were struggling with how do we make health information exchange happen in this industry, mm-hmm. as it has in other industries, but with this different economic structure. And so I got to spend 2 years, and we wrote a couple of reports about what the government could do differently to encourage better adoption of health information and technology and the benefits that would accrue both to patient safety and to consumers and to the system overall from an economic point of view. And ever since that experience, I've thought long and hard about what I wanted to do next for a career and how I could make a difference. And I said, man, there's just so much opportunity for a great software company like Microsoft to play a role in helping increase the rate of adoption of health information technology in the health ecosystem on a global scale, and decided to go back to work and to persuade Steve that it was indeed, Steve Ballmer, that it was indeed a good opportunity and a good business opportunity. And
was that a hard sell?
Well, we're having to do some things different. You know, yeah. I wouldn't call it a hard sell. It was one that had to settle in and to think about. Steve and I worked together. I participated as a consultant for a while here in evaluating certain approaches to how one would address that and what opportunities existed for Microsoft. So it took me some time, but it's not like I had to twist his arm. I just had to persuade him.
How do you characterize the opportunity for Microsoft in this space?
Yeah, I think it's pretty straightforward from a business case point of view. The health industry is probably the largest sector of any one part of advanced economies. Certainly is in the United States, and it certainly is in parts of Western Europe. Overall, as an industry, the health sector has invested less in information technology than other sectors like manufacturing or finance or retail.
Which is hard to justify. Or even understand, isn't it? I mean, it is a puzzle.
Well, it makes sense. It makes complete sense when you understand the underlying makeup of the sector. It is, you know, perhaps not appropriate when you think about really the delivery of medicine. My perspective is really fundamentally an information management problem, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And even as a doctor works, he's getting data endpoints. He's doing some decision rules against it, and he's making some decisions and diagnostics, and then iterates and repeats as you show up again. And so it's very much an information management problem. But health is a very different sector. It's local. There aren't really any national players, so you have different competitive dynamics. Mm-hmm. You have lots of not-for-profits that have varying degrees of mission and focus. You have this third-party payment system, which frankly really mucks up the ability of people to innovate, because they only innovate around areas that they can get paid, and the mm-hmm. payment system is much more rigid and slow moving than lots of other things. And where you see people have invested in information technology, frankly, is to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
So you have much more automation on payment systems and billing systems and all that other stuff than you have in workflow automation systems, or, you know, in a manufacturing sense, the factory automation and quality improvement stuff. And so health is behind in that space, or some people could make that argument. As a result of those things, large, underpenetrated, no significant share players, there is an opportunity for a new entrant like a Microsoft to start with a new approach that could pick some sweet spots to build a set of business opportunities for itself and for partners. And we've been doing the partner piece for 10 years. We have a variety of ISVs that have built on components of the Microsoft platform to deliver value, and we're finding ways for us to add value to the work that they're doing in the enterprise space. And we acquired a technology, it wasn't really a company, called Azixie, which has a new information architecture for pulling together information from various source systems and create a very real-time, unified way to look and represent that information that's very flexible.
So I was actually going to ask you about that, because looking at it from the outside, the question would be, it sounds in principle similar to many other kinds of integration technologies, some of which already exist in-house. So is it the technology that differentiates it, or is it the fact that it grew up in the domain of the health sector?
Yeah, it depends on where in the stack you want to really apply that, right? So in one context, it uses SQL Server, right? So it uses part of our core stack to deliver the cool stuff that it does, and
okay.
It uses various programming interfaces. We've moved it to .NET and other things for the client. But what it has that is so unique is a different way to create the data store that allows for the flexibility and the application of metadata. So
okay. They
have a whole bunch of techniques to add metadata as stuff comes out of a transaction system and to make it make sense in the medical terminology or taxonomy, if you will. So how they've applied the ontology, how they do the metadata, how they've architected the performance, because you have these varying degrees of data types from, you know, simple lab values, which are numeric, to large images, which have different performance characteristics, and you're showing them in the same viewer, if you will. And
okay. You
need to optimize it for that. So they did some, what I would call some systems level stuff that was really intriguing, with metadata approach, which was super smart, and the flexibility and design points that they created by virtue of being real-life physicians trying to save lives in the emergency department.
Okay, so these people come from the place of being medical people first.
Yeah, the two founders were kind of an odd quirk, where they were both very deep computer scientists from an object-oriented approach and leaders in the field of emergency medicine.
Oh, okay.
Which is an interesting design point.
Not
perfect for all needs, but for a performance-oriented, you know, our heritage is always do more with commodity hardware, so performance-oriented was really pretty interesting design point for us.
Okay. What's also been discussed a little bit is the other acquisition, MedStory. Where did that come from?
Health, as I've said, is a very big sector, and it typically can be described as there's hospitals or facilities, there's providers as facilities, there's payers, which in the United States means primarily insurance plans or employers, and sometimes government. Outside the United States, mostly means government, but although there are insurance plans. Then there's pharmas, typically an access within the ecosystem, if you will, because they're a source of a significant amount of funding for research and other activities. So you have all of these different players. And from my view, there has always been a big opportunity for a set of tools that would simplify how consumers interact with the health delivery system, that ecosystem I just described. Where consumers are today is really at search. You know, health search is a very big activity in the context of search market share. Almost everybody does it. They do it often depending upon their personal conditions or their family conditions. And yet their results set are frequently less satisfying than many other searches because it's complicated. And they're often searching on terms that they don't fully understand.
Yeah.
And what MedStory does is help create a context. I mean, it has some really cool technology about how it creates concepts from trusted content and then uses those concepts to basically filter and rank results from all of the web sources. And so that concept I thought was really cool, and that would help us build a new end-to-end search experience that would deliver a better consumer's capability to understand and at the end of the day take action against why they were searching in the first place.
Yeah, it is in fact the case that, as a lot of doctors are finding out these days, patients are coming to them having constructed an enormous amount of context around the information that they can find on the web, just generally and also in specialized places, even into the medical literature. And it's been a bit of a surprise, I think, to a lot of people, the extent to which quote unquote ordinary people are actually able to dive in and make some sense out of this medical literature. But the point is, they have to work awfully hard to do it. You know, and when they're incredibly highly motivated because, you know, they or their loved ones are seriously threatened, you know, then it's amazing the resources that people can muster to do this. But still, they shouldn't have to work so hard, right? It should be easier.
When it's about your health, you're incredibly motivated. Whether it's you or a family loved one or
exactly.
even a friend, you're incredibly motivated.
Exactly.
But at the same time, you want to make sure people, the reason they spend so much time at digging and digging is they don't know what they don't know. And that's why they bring it often to their physician to help provide context and other things.
Yeah.
And they're doing it in the absence of real context, whether that context has something to do with their data or that context has something to do with their level of understanding. And so we have had an initiative around trying to help simplify a consumer's experience in interacting with the health delivering system. Search and our MedStory acquisition, which we've integrated first into MSN and now into the live search pipe, and we will deliver a end-to-end experience, a new UI, if you will, that allows people to discover, learn about what's unique to them, dive deep into whatever web resource they have found, and then perhaps act through an action module or an ad. That we will deliver at the end of September in a new experience that we think will be a very rich user experience around search. It's the first part of a platform that we're launching around a consumer's ability to collect and securely store their and share their private health information.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the end of the day, what consumers really would like to do is have an aggregate view of their health information that is today scattered at Dr. A and Dr. B and Hospital C and their wherever they were born and their vaccinations, and it's spread out all over the place. And yet, when you need it, it's hard to recreate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important for users to be able to have the security, if you're the family health manager or the mom that's trying to take care of the kid, is you'd like to make sure that you had that all in one spot. And oh, by the way, by having that data in a data store that's accessible to third-party applications, you might be able to actually get more value out of it.
So this is kind of a clinical data dimension to this, and there's also this, as you were describing, this research that people do, which is also potentially something that they'd like to carry around in their permanent collection, right? In other words, this is what the test said, and this is the information that I found about the test. I'd like
right.
to keep all that stuff
right.
together.
We'll let people store their search
yeah.
as well
yeah.
in this private data store.
Yeah. You mentioned that the first component is the integration of the medical search into the live services, but that isn't the step of uploading your test results into some secure archive, right?
Right. So we are launching our Health Vault platform on October 4th,
okay.
where we will make accessible that platform, and early adopter applications will have 10 or so applications. There's another very important part of the Health Vault platform that connects home health devices to it. Just like, you know, for many, from if you want to, again, up-level at an economic perspective, many of the costs associated in today's health system are for what are known as self-managed diseases, diabetes, certain heart conditions. And those diseases require people to take measurements,
mm-hmm.
whether it's blood sugar or blood mm-hmm. pressure cuff. And that data typically gets written down on a piece of paper and then lost, whereas we're making it easy for these home health devices to connect to the PC and then upload into this private data store.
Well, that's nice.
And so that it can be, A, viewable, often if you know what trends, you know, as we have all learned with Excel, boy, if you put it in there and you can see the trend, that makes more sense than just looking at a column of numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same will be true for home health information, and if I can do that and make it easily shareable with another application like my physician, EMR. That might be meaningful information to them, and they can deliver better care for me, and those kinds of things. And so we've built the platform. We've implemented some APIs, both for devices and for applications. We've created a privacy and security set of principles and policies to enable this very unique thing, which is arbitrary sharing of secure and private data with a third-party application that I can be in control of.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm a diabetic and I've got a blood sugar monitor and I hook it up to this service, now I'm pumping my blood sugar readings up there, and you know, then I decide at some point I need to share that with, as you say, an authorized application. How do I authorize that application, or how do I authorize that hospital that's using that application to, yep, to talk to my data store? What does that look like from my perspective?
Yep, it's a really good question, and one of the things I wanted to mention is we are at the beginning of a very, I don't want to say very long, but of a cycle that says we need to get all those connections made,
mm-hmm,
right? Which is, we need to connect if your physician happens to use a electronic medical record, we need to get that version of the electronic medical record connected to the health vault.
Mm-hmm.
And many of those providers right on the Microsoft platform, and we have relationships with, and we've actually been out talking to a number of them, where we will connect them. So the way that would work is, you'd log on to your physician's portal, who would have a Health Vault-enabled view, and say, share my data, and that you'd make that connection. But the physician has to have some customer-facing, consumer-facing capability to be able to accept and or share out the other way, because you also want to get the lab result from your physician.
Right.
What we've had to do is build and announce the platform in order to motivate and get the people that have software to understand, hey, here's a low-cost way. I only have to do the connection once, and then it can be used everywhere. I don't have to do it 100 times.
Okay.
And I can count on Microsoft being there, and having done a good job, I'm willing to invest in helping make that connection.
So if I authorize my doc to go in there from his application and reach into the vault and uh-huh, see my stuff, I'm going to assume that there's a set of services which are provided by the vault itself, which are going to give all of us guarantees around things like auditing, for example, you know, that we can all see who viewed which record when, for example.
Yep.
Okay.
And you have to expressly give each application access and to the specific data. So,
yeah,
for example, you, yeah, could share, let's say you have weight as well as your blood sugar. You could decide to share your blood sugar and not your weight with your physician.
Okay.
I wouldn't recommend it, but you could.
Okay.
Or you could have your will in there, or your health directive in there, which you could choose to not share with your physician, but choose to share with your brother.
Okay.
Right? And so each application has to expressly identify the data it wants to see, and you get the opportunity to authorize that data.
Okay.
And then if it changes a year later and says, oh, I've added this new data type and I want to see it, it has to ask you again for that permission.
Okay. And so since digital identity is still an evolving story, I'm imagining that this will be kind of the usual patchwork quilt of things that we already do, wrapped up in some policy framework.
Yes. I think the simple way to think about it is we are working on a concept that starts with the consumer as this sort of central repository, and I know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I know who I have a relationship with as far as a physician, and I have to go reach out, just like you do with your bank, you have to go reach out and make some connection with that bank who you already have a relationship with.
Right.
And we're just doing all of that in the same normal way. And we're using Windows Live ID for our identity. When you log on with us, you have to use whatever the connect point wants to use for that, and we have a capability to extend that as this naturally will evolve over a period of time to stronger forms of management. But right now our focus is on just the way people normally interact with their financial information, which is more of a pull. You know, I'm going to reach out, identify,
yeah,
who I know, and pull it into,
yeah,
a shared environment that I can,
yeah,
do what I want with it.
So we talked about me feeding data that I collect about myself into,
uh-huh,
the vault. There's also clinical data that the hospital is collecting about me. How does that get into the vault?
One of our hospital partners will have this available on October 4th, where you'll be able to, they'll have a customer-facing portal of some form where you've self-identified and they've validated that you are a patient that they know, and they make that connection. So then I can log in and I can download my discharge summary if I happen to have come from the hospital, and I can say, hey, you know, push a button, say store to my health vault, and I can pull it in and store it into that shared data store.
Cool.
just like that. And we hope to do that for hospitals, for physicians, potentially for pharmacies, because medications are an important piece of it. And some of these environments have customer-facing portals. Many of them are what I call tethered, or are there view only, and I can't download information. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been any need to download yet, because it's only worthwhile to have it if you're going to reuse it. And the challenge in health, which we found in the enterprise, is tons of information gets collected and then thrown away and doesn't get reused. Yeah. Whereas the value of that reuse, both clinically in terms of making better decisions, preventing errors, is really high, and from a operational point of view in the hospital of really understanding that also has value in information. Well, we think the same thing can be true for the consumer. Whereas being able to reuse that information, just knowing what doctors you've seen, when, would help remind you on so much stuff that's important that could save or prevent an error or prevent a recurrence.
Yes, yeah, it's huge. So in my conversations with John Halamka, he leads me to believe that things are going along pretty well in terms of the development of standards for representing this kind of stuff, for representing health records, XML-based standards. And he seems to be taking a pretty pragmatic approach to it, which is, you know, we're not going to boil the ocean in terms of specifying what this stuff looks like. We're going to get to something that's good enough and go with it, and then we'll refine it as we move along. Does that agree with what you're saying?
When you talk about Halamka, you have to recognize and identify that he's also responsible for HITSPE,
yeah,
which was a position created by Levitt and the AHIC, American Health Information Community, to help create some standards and some use cases.
Yeah.
So he's been in a position where he gets to be kingmaker, if you will, and bypass certain of the processes that have otherwise been used to establish standards.
Okay.
And that's probably okay. Our view is simple. The more electronic data, the better. And that the standard is so far often been a barrier to people agreeing and implementing and deploying, and that mm-hmm. seems silly. So pick one and use it and do it. XML is great because then you can transform it to whatever it needs to be 5 years from now or from one form to another form.
So when you announce in the first week of October, and you'll have this partner on board, we'll have this capability of
yep.
pumping information into the vault from their clinical systems. What is that going to be? What is that stuff going to be? How should we think about it in terms of its future reuse potential, for example?
Yep. So we have used data standards where we could find them that were generally accepted and deployed many of those. The one we're using for the discharge summary is something that's called the CCR, which isn't quite an official standard yet and is a fairly loosely described XML form, but will be useful enough and better than not having anything.
And the
point that so much of health has gotten stuck in trying to put all the semantic meaning into the structure, and
exactly.
whereas having the information's really valuable in and of itself. And so we've been very pragmatic in taking standards where we could find them and saying, hey, it's going to be valuable for us to implement them. And we have an extensible environment where it's easy for us to add as we go along, because we know we got a lot more to add as we go.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
It does. It does. This is pretty exciting.
Well, we think it's the beginning of a industry, event that can be very important, and our success will be measured in terms of how many people write applications to take advantage of this shared data, of terms of convincing consumers that there is value and benefit to participating in this and delivering on that and getting people connected, because it's really, you have to do lots of things, right? You have to get them connected, and you have to get people comfortable in sharing and pulling the data, and then you have to deliver value on top of it. And so you can't do it all at once. You have to do it a step at a time. And this is the first step, and we're pretty excited about it. And we, in my conversations with potential partners, have found that, wow, they look at it and say, I've been waiting for this, because now I can do all of these things about bringing my health delivery service into the internet age, and I don't have to invest in the whole infrastructure. I can count mm-hmm. on your infrastructure to enable me to do X and Y and Z, and now I can both deliver better customer experience and save money at the same time. Let's get started. So So that's really exciting.
It's also kind of refreshing that this thing is a service, a commercial service, right?
Oh, absolutely. This is a service. This is very much us believing in and delivering on a service-oriented approach that only really works because it's about the reuse and sharing of this data and its connectedness. And so while some people have said, hey, let's lock it down, make a personal health record, and just store it on your PC or a USB stick or something like that, well, that has some benefit, but it doesn't have the benefit of making this sort of very current, changing, always evolving data available to where you need it. You know, if I'm in
Exactly.
Japan and I'm sick and it's stuck on my desktop at home, it doesn't do me any good. Whereas if it's in the cloud as a service and I need access to it, I can give it to that Japanese doctor and probably get a much better outcome.
How will the payment be made for this service?
Well, the great thing is we've figured out how we can do it for free. And the reason is because we believe that the user experience will largely be task-oriented and through search, that they will discover information needs through search, that they will discover applications through search, that they'll discover new device capabilities
So
through search.
advertising really will carry it then.
Yep.
Wow. Wow.
And so we've made it free to consumers and free to software developers. And we think that at the end of the day, when I'm looking, doing my health query on skin cancer, I not only want to learn, I want to know how to take action on that. You know, should I buy X? Should I buy this sunscreen? Should I do this? There's a whole bunch of actions that are very relevant to me and would enable me to accomplish what I started out to accomplish anyway. That is a way for us to deliver value to consumer and to monetize it at the same time. So that's the business model.
This has got to be a thrill to be doing this. I mean, people have been talking about this stuff forever, right? It's got to be a thrill to be actually doing it.
I'm a guy who likes to execute. It's a hard problem. It takes somebody like a Microsoft who's willing to put a lot of stakes in the ground, willing to pull a lot of partners together. You know, we have grown as a company. We know how to think through and deal with the really hard privacy problems, and we've put some real stakes in the ground around that. We've grown as a company in thinking about services, which we just talked about. And we've grown as a company in really understanding that here is a ecosystem that can benefit from our leadership and move the whole ball forward by making a lot more information shareable electronically, which will be good for consumers and good for physicians and good for people who pay the bills.
Sounds great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.